Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Internet Marketing.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 128 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. Hi, I'm Andy White.
I am, if I can get the words out of my mouth, Kelvin Newman.
That was my fault. I threw a piece of paper at him. Just kidding.
He always tries to choke me, you know, try and, you know, put me off my words.
I threw a feather mop in his face. Right, it's a questions and answers.
Yeah.
Don't sound too camp, Kelvin. Make sure you're getting slightly camp.
Yeah.
Yes, first, I have in my hand a series of pieces of paper. In fact, I think I have four, if I'm not mistaken.
Four questions,
he says, wandering away from the microphone. Let's start with the first one. This is from Hans van Beek. Hi, Kelvin and Andy. From a steamy Bangkok, a big thanks for your great internet marketing podcast. Since I found the podcast a few months ago, I've been listening to it while being stuck in the horrendous traffic here. Well, I'm so glad that we help people stomach bad traffic.
It is a little bit mad to be thinking of people listening to the show in Bangkok in a traffic jam, but there you go.
It makes it worth it, you know, makes a bad time better. Anyway, carrying on. That gave me also ample time to listen to all your older shows that you made since the end of 2009. During that time frame of a few weeks, I could hear clearly the progress you have made in the podcast, and I'm not just talking about the cozy background noise of earlier shows. Yes, they're worth listening to. Did I say cozy background noise? I think I did say it properly. Great show, well done. Here is a challenging SEO link building question, Kelvin, that I would like to get your thoughts on. We are just testing and launching a new site, jobcred.com. This is an advanced but easy to use free online tool for professionals to build, manage and download their curriculum vitae CV. It is a multilingual site. All languages are handled under the same jobcred.com domain. Thus, for example, the Dutch homepage is jobcred.com/NL, for Netherlands, presumably. For marketing and communication purposes, it is, however, better for us to use jobcred.nl for the Dutch market. Therefore, we have purchased this domain and redirected jobcred.nl to jobcred.com/NL. Now we want to start building backlinks, and here is my question. Of course, we want to get the maximum SEO benefit from the backlinks with Dutch keyword anchor text to our Dutch homepage. Should we therefore create links that link to jobcred.com/NL or to jobcred.nl? Maybe your answer is that it does not matter very much. In that case, I would like to know if we should be consistent in using one of the two domains for the backlink building to the Dutch homepage, or can we just mix them at will? I've been Googling to find some answers to this, but could not find anything useful. Thus, I now turn to the Clockwork Pirate. Looking forward to your answer to this link building question and your next great show, Hans. Thanks, Hans.
Ah, it's a good question. So the common one, so the slightly a variation on, there's a common question and it kind of veers off from that. So I'll cover the common element of it for people who might have a similar issue. And that is, when setting up a multilingual international website, do you have separate domains for each country and language, or do you have them as subfolders or subdomains?
What is the answer, Mr. Newman?
Simple version is I very rarely go for subdomains. So you're then faced with the folders or separate domains. Mm. Now, simply put, the decision between the two is often determined by resource. So if you have a lot of resource and link building budget and resource for each country independently. Basically,
if you're very rich.
If you're very rich, the separate domains is the route to go. Mm. If instead you're trying to be kind of bootstrappy, or you know, you're just trying to be efficient, the subfolders is the best way to go. And the reason for that is a separate website is seen as completely separate in Google. So the .com doing well has no benefit for the .nl version of the domain. They're completely separate, no connection whatsoever. So that means each of them needs to stand on their own 2 feet. Whereas if it's a subfolder and you build a link to the .com, to the American version of the site, that benefits the Dutch version of the site, the Swedish version of the site, the, you know, Finnish version of the site. And the Finnish version of the site benefits the Dutch version of the site, and vice versa. Now, because all the links are all going to the same domain, that domain improves and they all benefit from that. But the ., you know, the subfolder, where it's on the, off the .com, will never rank as well in that country as the as a specific URL for that country.
Right.
So it's a kind of, the quick win is in keeping it on the subfolder, but the long term benefit is in, you know, linking to the doc, you know, the local specific one. And it sounds like here they've decided to go with the subfolder route, which I think, you know, is quite sensible. But now they're starting to build links. And his question is, does he link to the local version or the local page? If you're linking to the local version and you've got a redirect in place, the link equity will transfer over to that area of the site. But it's a transfer. It's going to take longer. It might not transfer all the value. So I would suggest link build to the page that people are ultimately going to end up on. So the .com/NL, not .NL.
Okay.
So the reason for that being is that, you know, yes, the 301 will transfer that equity, transfer that value, but you're best off link building to the page where people are ultimately going to end up. So, yeah, link build to the subfolder would be my answer. Now, there's permutations about why you chose that option, but given that that's how it's set up, that's how I'd say do it. Link build to .com/NL.
Okay, well, hopefully that has answered your question, Hans. I do like your phraseology there of being bootstrappy. Does that mean if I go to a pub and I'm a bit skint, I go, all right, let's go to the pub, Calvin. Actually, I'm a bit bootstrappy. That's a cue to buy me a beer, is it?
Yeah, something like that.
Excellent. Okay, I'm a bit bootstrappy today. Right, next question. Right, this is from Richard Woods. As an employer of SEOs, I like talking... As an employer of SEOs, I like taking raw graduates and moulding them into our way of doing SEO. But I'm always unsure on how the first few days of their employment should go. I always like to get them looking at industry's blog, brackets, SEO, Moz, yours, etc., brackets. I also like them to present 3 to 4 new things that they have discovered within their first week on a Friday show and tell style presentation to the team. If I said that right, I think
show and tell. I think yeah.
Friday show. So I start again. Friday show and tell style presentation to the team. But I'm always unsure on this first week, as it sometimes feels a bit hands off. So I would be delighted to know .. What is the first week like for a new SEO starter on site visibility? Do you have any structure or ideas which could help me better organise week one of a new SEO's career? Thanks a million, and keep up the amazing podcast. Kind regards, Richard Woods.
Yeah, it's I mean, we at Site Visibility, we have a kind of standard induction process that I suppose is similar, you know, that deals with all the kind of who's who and all that type of thing. But if I could offer one piece of advice, I mean, I'll start off by telling you what my first week at Site Visibility was like.
Ooh, when should
I
should be a laugh.
First joined. So in the run up to joining, I hadn't really done much SEO. I was kind of familiar with it, and I'd read a book. Called Search Engine Optimization, An Hour a Day was the name of the book. It's a bit like a SEO for Dummies style book. So I read that, and then in the first week I read SEO Book, which was actually a book at that point in time, whereas now it's kind of a private membership site. And, you know, in the process of doing that, I kind of got a fundamental overview of everything that was involved in SEO. And that's good, because sometimes the temptation is, and we have fallen into this trap occasionally, of where you go, okay, well, let's just explain one task to a person, explain how that works, get them to work on it, and then get them stuck in. And then just do that over all the tasks that make up their job. But the problem is you never get the big picture. You don't get to see how it fits together. So what I now recommend is there is the eConsultancy Best Practice Guide to SEO, which is about 150 pages of A4. And I think if you've read that, and it's actually a guide I've contributed to, but, you know, don't let that put you off. But there's lots of people who have contributed to that. It's a basic guide to all SEO. If you've read all of that, I think you've got a very strong foundation to go on and carry off and get started. So in Richard's case, I would say spend the first day or day and a half, depending how quickly someone reads, reading that eConsultancy best practice guide, then continue on with what he said after that, pointing people at the direction of SEO mods, podcasts like this, you know, SEO book and their, you know, updates that they have, their search engine land. But I think it's really, really valuable if you're bringing someone in as a trainee, even if the plan is for them to specialise in a particular area, to get them to get that overview of all that search is about. So yeah, that's kind excellent. Of how I'd go about it.
An excellent answer to an excellent question. Well, I like those sort of questions. Moving on to the next question, the penultimate question. This is from Souza Jonathan.
Jonathan Souza, sorry,
I was confused because his surname was written before his first name. I do apologise, Jonathan. It's been a bit of a long week for me, even though it's only Wednesday. Hi, Kelvin. I love your podcast and listen to it every time I mow my lawn.
I think that's a bit, yeah, I would like that now. It's because we had the chat. He's listening in Bangkok traffic jams and he's mowing the lawn. I heard some, I bumped into Richard. I think he listened, he was saying he listened when pushing his baby to sleep in a pram. Anyone, when you're sending in questions, tell us what you're doing when you're listening to the podcast.
Yeah, do. It's quite funny. Yeah. I'm surprised you can hear it above the din of the lawnmower. That's why it depends what sort of lawnmower you're using, doesn't it?
I hope he's got a sit-on lawnmower. You know, those ones that are a bit like a tractor you can drive around the garden on. I'd love one of them.
Let us know, Jonathan. Is it a sit-on lawnmower that's really noisy and you can't hear us? Anyway, I'll carry on. I have a question about using a forum with WordPress. I have a relatively new website at
HTTP/...
But there's no www.
Okay.
cruisefever.net. That's cruisefever.net. And I'm writing to integrate a forum into the site. The main issue is that I want to be able to allow the users to have the same login and password for WordPress as I do for the forum. Do you know of any simple solution for this? Also, what would be the best solution for collecting emails? Should I copy all of my forum's user emails into an Aweber, or use a separate opt-in form altogether to keep everyone updated? Thanks for all the great information you and Andy provide. Loyal listener, Jonathan Souza, pronounced Souza. Thought I'd make it easy for you. Thank you, Jonathan.
He's obviously familiar with the trouble me and you have pronouncing people's names. But fortunately, so there's two questions there. I'll deal with the first one first about kind of integrating a forum into a WordPress site. Mm. There's fortunately two options that are quite simple for that, that kind of manage and use the same database. Both of them are developed by the same people behind WordPress. Now, the first of them is BBPress, which is a, you know, BB stands for bulletin board. So it's a forum software that uses the same system architecture and database as the WordPress installation that you use. So that's BBPress. Mm-hmm. It's not the most functional form. It doesn't have as much as like vBulletin or...
Is it a plugin, Kelvin?
Yeah, no, it's a separate piece of software.
Okay.
Developed by the same people behind WordPress. And that's kind of a simple, basic form functionality. I've set a few websites up using that. I actually quite like its simplicity. I think sometimes forums are all a bit too whizzy, giving everyone lots of options about what their, you know, their avatar is and what signatures they can have, and you know how they can set up blogs that no one ever does on a forum and all that type of thing. Mm. BBPress is quite pared down, quite simple, and you know, quite effective. But if you do want more of that involved, you know, additional functionality, there's another software that's produced by the people behind WordPress called BuddyPress.
Okay.
Which is kind of almost intended to make a social network off your blog, as it were. So it's kind of got more of that profile.
Is that a plugin or is it a separate?
No, again, that's a separate.
It's a separate thing. Okay,
but
right.
They're kind of you install it separately like you would a blog, but they interconnect. They share data. So So that allows what Jonathan's hoping to do there, which is to
share the login.
Yeah, share the logins there.
Ah, cool.
That's more involved. Requires a lot more styling. The advantage of BB Press is it's very simple to take your WordPress theme and port it across to BB Press. It's not as simple on BuddyPress because the pages are laid out very, very differently to how a blog is. But both of those should have the functionality that he's looking for to share the database. It's not dead simple, but it is the easiest way because it's all using the same, you know.
Cover it. Are they both online services, or are they something that you can you get a big steaming pile of code and put it on your own server?
Yeah, they're kind of you download the code, you FTP it up to your server. So they're the same as WordPress.org rather than WordPress.com.
Okie dokie, excellent.
And second question about emails. Two email companies that I recommend. Absolutely everyone loves a Weber or Weber. I've not really used them, so
I use
a lot of people rate them. I've not used them. I can't really express too strong an opinion. My preferred option, the Pure 360, are based down here in Brighton, and if like friends of Brighton SEO. Yeah. But I use most frequently MailChimp that have a lot of those autoresponders. I would be careful with taking membership details and turning that into a mailing list without people realizing. I'm not sure about the legal ramifications of that. I think you might be, you know, I would check, definitely. I'm not an email marketing expert.
I'm pretty sure that with Aweber, and I might be wrong, but I think with Aweber, if you import a whole load of new email addresses, it is double opt-in. So they will initially get you want to be added to this site? And if you don't click, that's it. It stops.
Okay. Well, that'll probably deal with a lot of that. But I would say that Aweber, I don't know how you pronounce it, very highly recommended. MailChimp and Pure 360 also very good options as well. Mm. And yeah, put an opt-in form on your site. You'd be amazed how many people will opt into email newsletters.
Just a quick question, actually. Just quickly going back to the first part of the question about the forums. I seem to remember listening that forums were going out of fashion a bit now. Are they making a bit of a comeback? Or was I wrong in the first place?
It's just Twitter because, you know, everything else, all social networks, the discussions are happening there.
Right, quickly on to the last question, because Calvin's got a meeting, we've got to be quick. I mean, we're at 15 minutes, we're at 16 minutes. This is from Ant. For my driving school, I'm going to do a monthly or bi-monthly competition to give away a driving lesson for novices to try and drum up business, /get website traffic/links. I've registered winnerlesson.co.uk, so going to have that on the car. However, I'm not sure if it's best... when he says that, I think he's going to have it printed on his car. However, I'm not sure if it's best to make people sign up to an email campaign list to get the chance to win. Link to the website from Twitter/Facebook or what? Email gives good contact numbers, but links from Facebook/Twitter is also good. Have you seen any good ideas for competitions, Ant?
Yeah, it's a either or here, neither better. I mean, so when I launched my book Clockwork Pirate, you can get it at clockworkpirate.com, there's the plug. For free. On that site, you kind of get it for free in return for sharing it on Facebook or Twitter. I could have collected email addresses at that point. The reason I didn't is because I felt that because it was free, that actually I'd get more value with people sharing that in their contacts, and it spreads virally as a consequence of that. So the spread was more important to me than any follow-up from that. However, if I wanted to sell to those people, I would have been better getting their email addresses. So in Ant's case, I think what he doesn't necessarily want to do is get lots and lots of people entering the competition but then have no follow-up with them. He's probably better off having, you know, less people enter but more potential to actually contact those people. So I would go with the email address in that particular situation.
Okay. Hopefully that answers your question, Ant. And with that, it wraps. Please keep sending your questions in. kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Is that right?
That's the one.
Correct. Or phone them through on the special phone number. I've been Andy White.
I've been Kelvin Newman.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show.
Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White is signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.